check, check, check. Check the bell. Bell check. Episode 200. Fuck, we've been doing this for a long time. Started doing the math on it. I mean, that's effectively saying that we've done this for 4 years, right? Because there's 52 weeks in a year. But the truth of the matter is, the first, like, 100 episodes, we... In the beginning of the show, we were bi-monthly. So I don't even know how long we've been doing this. It's called the Brand Eye. Let's see if she remembers.
Bing, bing, bing. Ding, dong, dong. Bing, bong, bong. Bing, bong, smoke, bong. Bing, dong, ding.
Pick up.
Hey.
What
I did not get home until 1:30 last night.
So you're tired, too?
I'm so tired.
I'm tired, too. Dude, so I have the watch that, like, tracks my sleep, right? We've been talking about that. If you set the alarm through that, it'll wait for you not to be in REM sleep to wake you up. Yeah, and this morning, I didn't wear my watch last night, and this morning, my alarm went off in the middle of a dream. Oh, man.
Ooh, and that's the worst.
It's the worst, and now I just feel like the rest of my day is going to be groggy as shit. And my dream was cool. I was for whatever reason, I was going back to college, and I was going back to college with Bill Murray. And, like, Bill Murray and I were somehow buds. Like, he was, like, really invested in, like, hanging out with me and, like, wanted to make sure that, like, we sat next to each other. But he's also very funny. And also, I remember turning to him and I go, Bill, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. And he's like, what are you talking about? Why am I back in college? What am I doing this for? And I was going back for business school. And I was like, I have a career that I don't need this. I don't need any of this. What am I doing this for? Bill Murray dropped some knowledge and was just like, you know.
He was like, well, you're not working much, so.
Very true. I mean, I'm working.
You needed to come back.
I'm working right now.
2 hours a week. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I wish it only took me 2 hours to edit this fucking thing. You know how hard it is to polish a turd into a diamond every week? It's not easy.
I do not, and I don't want to know.
Speaking of, I've been polishing a turd into a diamond for 200 weeks.
That's this week?
This is this week. This is episode 200.
Wow. How has that happened? How have the YFTers put up with us for 200 episodes?
I was trying to do the math on it before we called you. So effectively, 200 episodes means that we've done this for 4 years. But the truth of the matter is, like, for the first 50 to 70 episodes, we were bi-monthly?
Oh, yeah. It was, like, rare that we recorded an episode.
And then it got to a point where, like, just hoping to get, like, one a month for a while.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we were both busy. Do you remember when we first started, like when this first happened?
I mean, yeah, we were in the radio studio Nashville.
I remember where we were. I'm just asking, do you remember when it was? Like, how many years doing this?
I don't remember anything prior to like 2 months ago.
2017 we started?
that sounds right.
Episode number one, August 10th, 2017. Jesus.
Oh, you were right.
5 years.
August 10th. That is insane. People ask me all the time, how long have you had your podcast? I'm like, I don't know, a decade?
Yeah. I don't know. When was the last Olympics? Probably around then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty insane.
It is insane. It's a testament to the YFTers out there for having very lowbrow taste in podcasts.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about this show that makes you guys want to keep on coming back, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much for providing the majority of Wells's income.
This is the thing that I do that makes me the least amount of money, just so you know. By the way, go buy all the shit that we promote on this show. That'll help.
Yeah, that helps. Put a few dollars in his bank account.
I need some more money. I'm about to join a golf club. And when you do that, you're just... That's the most middle-aged... guy thing that you can do, I think, is join a golf
club.
The
most.
There's nothing.
Are you kidding?
Nothing more than that. It also kind of seems like I'm going through a midlife crisis. I'm taking flying lessons. I'm joining a country club. I'm restoring old cars. I am that guy. I need a goatee, some fucking New Balance,
Hey, those are in.
And I need some cargo shorts.
No.
And I need to start like reading novels about submarines and World War II.
Yeah.
And then I'm just a dad. I'm just a guy. I'm a rad dad.
Maybe drop the rad.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's fine.
So golf. So you were golfing this past weekend. I saw Ben almost says he, got another hole in one, almost.
Yeah, I wasn't playing with him when that happened, but I saw how far he was. I got closer. I put one like 2 inches away.
Ooh, way to one up him.
Well, I, you know, credit where credit is due. I think Ben beat me overall. The first day I beat him, the second day he beat me the first round, the second round I beat him, the third round I think he beat me, the fourth round I beat him, so I think we're tied, and the fifth round he beat me.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we played a game called Stableford where, like, every hole's worth a certain number of points, and he actually did beat me in that. He won the whole thing, so.
Wow. Go Ben.
Go Ben. And we had so much fun. We were in Utah. I mean, we were in this place called Washington, Utah, or St. George, Mesquite, Nevada, Washington, Utah. Great courses over there, guys. Go check it out if you're a golfer. Probably not. Speaking of golf, one of my favorite things happened just this past weekend. The Masters was happening.
Oh, was it?
Big fan of the Masters. If there's any YFTers out there that has a connection to Augusta National and, like, their dad is a member and they can take me out to play, I will go and I will do anything for that person. We were talking about this. So this is such a golf dork thing, but there's a lot of YFTers boyfriends can relate. How much would you pay to play Augusta National? And I just threw out, I'll pay $10,000 right now.
That's fucking crazy.
$10,000. If anyone knows anybody who is a member of Augusta National, I will cut a check for $10,000 if you can get me on that fucking course.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
It's not. It's the most.
$10,000?
$10,000. And you know what? You know what? The truth of the matter is, if I had a little more money in my bank account, I would double that.
No.
Yeah. Play golf one time.
That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth, and that says a lot.
Yeah, I know. Proud of Scottie Scheffler. He's from Dallas, from the Big D. Played well. He's a God-fearing boy. Seems like a very nice guy. Fucking beat that ass. I was rooting for Cam Smith because he's got a mullet and a mustache, and he's from Australia, and he likes to fish and drink beer on the weekends with his buds. But he didn't win. But you know what? I was in a Masters pool, and your boy did win. $832. Boom!
Seems like you need to be winning some more if you're paying 10 grand to play somewhere.
No one's offered it to me. But if anyone, honestly, dead ass serious, if anyone hits me up, I will cut you a check for $10,000.
That is the most psychotic thing to me.
Yeah, well, I'm a rad dad over here, all right? Don't forget YFTers coming up tomorrow night. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, we are going to be doing a live on YouTube. Everyone is invited. We're going to party down. Brandy's going to get drunk and take her shirt off.
Nope.
Helicoptered around over her head. Maybe.
It's not happening, but I am going to have a drink with you guys, and I can't wait.
Head over to the Insta page for all the information about that. Anyways, how was your week? You were in Vegas.
I was in Viva Las Vegas. You know, it was good. However, I don't know, like, what's going on. It's like, I hate to say, like, bad luck is following me because nothing, like, super, super bad has happened. You know, we survived the lightning strike in South America, so that's great.
True.
And stuff. But I get to Las Vegas, and it's been, like, 96 degrees and sunny all week. And I get there, and it's fucking cold. So that sucked. And then we wake up yesterday morning in Vegas, and we look outside, and we're like, why does it look so foggy outside? And it looks so strange. And then we go outside, and the wind gusts are, like, 1,000 miles an hour, literally, like, blowing us over like we can't stand up. The palm trees are swaying so hard, like they're about to snap. We're like, what's happening here? Apparently, massive dust storm rolls through Las Vegas all day yesterday, and we're getting, like, emergency weather alerts from our phone that's like, don't drive, stay alive, like crazy alerts popping up on the phone because of this dust storm, and we're supposed to fly out. So we were freaking out. I mean, it was all over all the Las Vegas Instagram accounts are like, this never happens in Las Vegas. Like, maybe once a year we see this. This is crazy. And we're like, of course, it's the one day that I'm here trying to travel.
Were you able to get out?
We were delayed, of course, for so long. Finally, I think they had a schedule to leave at like 7 p.m. And this, like, dust storm was supposed to expire right around then. But I was torn. I was like, I want to go home so bad. I don't want to fly in this. This is terrifying. I mean, we watched a couple planes land from the airport, and they're like going like this, landing like sideways, you know, like just swaying in these like insane wind gusts. And I'm like, I'm so scared. So we did take off. It was a bit scary. It was very swooshy, if you will. Swooshy. But I made it home. But I'm like, what else could happen to me? Like, what is going on here? Like a dust storm that never happens. And I will say, like, driving to the airport, there was like not a whole lot of visibility. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Have you ever been in a dust storm?
Yes, I have.
Where?
Lake Mead, Nevada, which is actually very close to Vegas.
Very close to Las Vegas.
Yeah. And it's crazy.
It's scary.
We were on a houseboat in Lake Mead during a dust storm. And that's just crazy because, you know, you're basically on a double wide that's floating, being held together by pixie sticks,
cardboard,
duct tape, and faith in Jesus.
Was the boat like sweat? Like, could you feel the wind like pushing the boat on the water? I'm sure you could.
You have to go into a cove and you have to dock. And so what you have to do is you have to nail down these giant stakes and then tie it off.
Oh.
But while the boat is going back and forth, like trying to get enough like manpower to like tie it down sufficiently is hard to do, especially for a bunch of rad dads. The fact that they allow just anybody to rent a houseboat and then just take it out is ridiculous. We've been doing it since we were kids. I've gone through the training seminar. It's 30 minutes long to explain how to drive a houseboat and not die. It's crazy.
I agree.
But I tell you what, houseboating is one of my favorite things.
Never done it.
Oh my God. Honestly, you need to do it. It is the best trip ever. Like we used to.
Really?
My dad was a doctor. We were well off and everything. And so we would go houseboating every year. You get a ski boat and you go skiing and wakeboarding and tubing behind it. And you just float around the lake. And when you get hot, you stop and you jump in. You'd fish at night and get half cocktail hour. And then you go and you tie down at night and at a little cove. And then you just hang out and roast marshmallows. The best fucking thing in the world. There was one year that my dad was like, you know what? Like, we're going to up the ante. We chartered a sailboat, a yacht, and went around the Caribbean. And in his mind, he was like, this is going to be houseboating, but to the nth degree. It's happened like St. Bart's and, you know, all those places. And the next year, he's like, what do you guys want to do? And we were all like, fuck that trip. Houseboat in Vegas, baby! So, listen, white trash at heart.
I was going to say, it sounds like the redneck version of yachting.
Yeah. Redneck Yacht Club. That's a song. Did you know that?
It is. It doesn't shock me.
There's no signing up, no monthly dues. Take your Johnson, your Mercury, or your Evinrude and fire it up. Beat us out at Party Cove. Come on in, the water's fine. Just idle on over and toss us a line. Fast tracks, wow. Bay liners, and a party barge strung together like a floating trailer park. Anchored out and getting loud all summer long. Side to side, there's five houseboat front porches, astroturf lawn chairs, and tiki torches. Regular Joes rocking the boat, that's us, the Redneck Yacht Club.
I mean,
insane.
Say what you want about country music these days, but Craig Morgan, that's a fucking hit, bro.
Oh my God.
All right, continue on with your story.
No, I was saying that I at the Virgin Hotel this past weekend in Vegas, it was their first ever country crossover weekend. They wanted country music like mixed in with top 40 and stuff in open format, which I don't normally like to do because I don't really listen to country music, at least not new country. So I'm like downloading songs before. I'm like, I got to have a few like new songs or whatever that people know. And we're listening to these country songs and I'm like, how are these real?
Yeah.
Like it is one margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot and it hits. Like people are like, yeah, like it is fucking crazy to me. It's insane.
To be a songwriter on Music Row right now has got to be, it's got to be either the dumbest job or the easiest job. I don't know which one.
It'll buy me a boat.
Redneck Yacht Club.
It'll buy me a truck to pull it.
We should start the show, actually.
We're 20 minutes in.
Yeah, we're a good minute ways in. Do you want to do the 200th episode?
Sure, I'd love to. I'd be honored.
Go for it.
Bros and hoes, you're listening to the 200th episode of Your Favorite Thing podcast with
Wells and Brandy. We made it. All right, guys. Bowl and Branch. Yep.
They're making the dreamiest bedding for your spring refresh, and it's all, this is the best part, 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. You'll sleep better right away with their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And they're made with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton, and they're yours to try with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. If you don't like it, you can send it back because Boll & Branch is amazing.
Boll & Branch is loved by millions of sleepers, and they have over 11,000 reviews. Plus, they're made without toxins, so they're free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals that are terrible for you. Plus, they fit the deepest of mattresses. So if you're like me and you have that like pillow top, cloud top, deep mattress, they totally fit, no problem.
Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch during their best sale of the entire season. Get 20% off your order when you use promo code FAVORITE at BollAndBranch.com.
That's Boll & Branch, BollAndBranch.com. Promo code FAVORITE. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Like, do you think there's going to be a 1,000th episode?
No.
I don't think so either.
there's no way people are putting up with us for that long.
When do you think this putters out? You think 400? I think was it two more years?
I was going to say, maybe we'll make it to 300. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's to hoping. But we do really appreciate all the people that listen to the show. I find it very ridiculous. I also find it very funny when I've run into people who do listen to the show and they're like, oh, I love your show. And I'm like, really?
That's my reaction. Really? I'm like, you do?
I'm like, thank you. But like, really? What is it? What is it about this show that you find entertaining at all?
Oh, God.
Well, you got some fave things, bro?
Bro.
Bro.
Have you seen The Ultimatum?
Oh my God. I am dick deep in The Ultimatum. I'm like,
have you finished it or no?
No, I'm at the part where second living together situation is happening now.
Okay, great. I was watching this morning and I have like 15 minutes left of the finale. And so I was like, please God, don't let Wells have seen this because he's going to want to ruin it and talk about it.
No.
So that's great.
Okay, so if you don't know what we're talking about.
It's better than Love is Blind, right?
Well, it's a little more real than Love is Blind. To me, Love is Blind is a little silly because love isn't blind. Right. As much as everyone hates that one guy who says like love's blurry, it's true. Like there's a big part of like getting married. You need to be kind of like what the person looks like. You know? I'm sorry. It's true. Like, as much as everyone hates that guy, I forget his name now, but like. Shake, yeah. I mean, he's a total asshole. He wasn't completely wrong. Whereas like. This is a little more rooted in reality, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this show, it's on Netflix. It's called The Ultimatum, Marry or Move On. Here's the tag. Getting hitched or call it quits. Couples put their love to the test while shacking up with other potential matches in a provocative reality series. The Ultimatum. The idea is this. There are all these couples that come together and go hang out with Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey for some reason. By the way,
I feel like you and Sarah should be hosting this show.
I 100% agree. I will say this. Vanessa Lachey is fantastic. She's
great. Has Nick said a word at all? I don't think.
Yeah. She is very good at this job. So the idea is that a bunch of couples come together, hang out with Nick and Vanessa. One of the people in the couple has put out an ultimatum to the other one. It's like, shit or get off the pot. Either we're going to get engaged or we're not. Mm-hmm. The idea is all of these people go talk to one another and then they decide to go basically have like a fake engagement or a fake relationship with someone else for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And then they come back together and then they live with the original person for 3 weeks. And then I guess they decide if they're going to get engaged or not, maybe go with the person that they picked. It's bonkers.
It is so good.
It's also the dumbest.
Well, yeah.
Let me get this straight. You want to get married so bad that your brilliant idea is to let your partner go fuck somebody else on TV, no less? No wonder they don't want to get married to you. You are terrible at making life decisions. Like, how is this a good idea? If I was one of the people that like was put the ultimatum on, I'd be like, you know one of the reasons why I don't want to marry you? Because you thought it was a good idea for us to go on a television show and hook up with our people. Hard pass on you, and I'm going to go my separate way.
It's six couples total.
Yeah.
For five of them, it was, of course, the girl giving the ultimatum, like, you gotta marry me or leave. And then there was one dude that gave the ultimatum, Colby. Which I thought was interesting.
Colby.
Fucking Colby. Also worth noting, all these people were like 25 at the oldest. Like 23 to 25, which is also hilarious. Okay, but so we first have to talk about these two couples. Okay, well, I mean, I don't want to ruin it for anyone. Should we do a little disclaimer here that if you haven't started it and you care enough about it being ruined, maybe don't listen for a few minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, we got two minutes on the clock right here. You can hit the fast forward button four times and then you'll be out of the spoilers right now.
All right, so we got to talk about these two couples that get engaged right away. It's like they have this like social hour where everyone talks to each other. And then these two fucking dudes who no one wants to pick, and then they panic and they're like, okay, I got to propose to my girl.
Yeah.
And they do. And the fucking girls say yes. Oh, yeah. What?
It also made no sense because like one of the ultimatums was like the guy wants to have kids and the girl doesn't want to have kids. But then once like the guy realizes that some other guy wants to date the girl that doesn't want to have kids, he was like, well, you know what? Fuck kids. I don't need that shit.
I don't need them. And what's crazy is I thought that girl was really into Colby. I really did. I was like, oh shit. Like, they're really getting it. And she's, you know, going to want to go with him. And then her like lame ass guy comes over and like says, oh, kids don't matter. And she's like, okay, great. Let's get married. Like, it's crazy to me. And then the other couple, it was hilarious because the guy picked like three girls who all didn't want to be with him.
Yeah.
And then he like panicked and went back to his girl who, I mean, I hate to say it, but she just seems like a Looney Tune. Maybe they're perfect for each other because of that. I'm not really sure.
She was the gold digger.
Oh, yeah. She was like, you don't make more money than me, then bye.
Yeah. And she's like, marriage is a financial decision. And like, I'm just like, go ahead. And it's like, wow. Oh, my, you're saying the quiet part out loud, crazy person. And then she started to gaslight Colby because Colby was originally like, you know what? Like, I don't feel that thing inside. So like, I don't want to waste your time. And she gets upset. And then she comes back. And she's like, well, what really is it? And he was like, oh, I'm not attracted to you. And then she starts gaslighting him and telling everyone that he's a fucking terrible person. And I'm like, this poor guy is just like trying to be nice. Come to find out, though, the character for Colby is like, ooh, I don't know.
Insane. Oh, just wait till the end. But there's some psychos on this show for sure.
Yeah.
That girl for sure. Also April, honey. Oh my God. There's a moment later in the show where Madeline tells April, she's like, hun, I love you, but this is going to come off really mean. Yeah. But like, you have got to learn how to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And April's all drunk and she like takes it as like a compliment, like, oh, thank you. I love you. And it's like, oh my God. But it's true. I think she gets drunk and she doesn't shut the fuck up.
I don't know. There's some moments where she's in the apartment with her guy and she just is talking and just like, shh.
It's too bad too, because she's far and away the cutest girl on that show.
Super cute girl. Yeah. Super cute. Way too emotional though. And talks a lot.
Yeah. And she got a sad story about not being able to have kids and yada, yada. But anyways.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's 2 minutes. Listen, guys, the ultimatum, it's really good, really bad TV.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's trash TV at its finest. Yeah. But
do you want to know like what I don't like about it? And it is, it's the style of the production company that like obviously does Love is Blind. And I think whatever, you know, whatever else Nick and Vanessa Lachey are fucking hosting. But I tell you what like really bugs me is the vibe with the music, which makes it feel very much like a bad MTV reality show. Where like all of a sudden they've thrown in some like random pop song. Where you're like, what is happening here?
Yes.
That's my only complaint about it, because it is pretty good.
Do you think all the couples will go back to their OG people, or what's your prediction there? Are you far enough to have an opinion?
First of all, Colby and what's her name?
Madeline.
Madeline never liked Colby. It seemed like she wanted to go fuck somebody else from Jump Street. So there's no way that one's lasting. The guy that's like a club promoter and he's an influencer with 50,000 followers.
He's hot.
He's very hot, but he's
hot.
But yeah, he's good looking. But I will say this, he seems so dumb. He seems like the dumbest.
You know what though? I don't know how far in you are. It's hard for me to like gauge, but there are moments where he gets really vulnerable and gets a little bit emotional. And I'm like, oh, his level of emotional intelligence, I think, is a lot higher than his like street smarts.
I'll give you that. He cries a good bit. So I think that that relationship,
I don't normally like criers.
That relationship, him and his original girl, they might last.
Because like, I think her and Jake are like soulmates that happen to find each other on this stupid TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really care. I don't care what happens to any of these people. Honestly, sorry.
I'm invested.
I'm invested to watch the show, but I don't care. I realize I don't care what happens to any of them. One of my favorite things about this show is that they're allowed to go, like, basically live with somebody else. But for some reason, like, there's a lot of storylines of the guys hooking up with other chicks at the club, which is, like, this not done a very good job of, like, kind of wrangling in storylines. It's really hard to talk about something that you didn't film.
Right. Uh-huh. I also think it's kind of fascinating they were allowed to keep their phones and stuff. It seems like you were supposed to spend 3 weeks away from your partner, but if you have your phone, couldn't you just text them or call them? Like, I don't know. It was a little weird.
But the phone thing has made it a wonderful little wrinkle because everyone's going through everybody's phone.
I know.
Hey, guys.
How do you feel about that? Let's talk about that for a second.
Well,
I think this is a big thing in some relationships is this whole like, oh, I have the passcode to his phone or my face is, you know, on his face ID mm-hmm. or whatever. So I can get into his phone at any time. We have this like open trust about phones or whatever. And then there's other people who are very much like, you shouldn't even need to look at my phone. You should be able to trust me. You know, it's just like a very, very like opinionated thing within relationships, I feel. And I'd love to hear your take on it.
Well, I'm pretty sure Sarah knows my passcode and I know hers. I wouldn't go through her phone, though, because I do think that's a little bit of a breach of trust. But mm-hmm. she can't find her phone and she like needs to call her own phone. I'm like, just use my phone and call or whatever. But here's the thing. I have had a relationship where I've gone through someone's phone. And I think it's only justified when you find out you're right when they're cheating on you. And that's what happened to me. I was like, oh, yeah, no, this makes sense. And I'm glad I went through your phone because you're a jerk.
Yeah.
You're cheating on me.
I mean, here's my thing. I would feel so uncomfortable going through someone's phone. I do feel like that's just so invasive. But I also feel like if you're in a relationship, the other person shouldn't be doing things that make you feel like you need to go through the phone. And if they are, something's wrong already.
Yeah. I mean, don't go through someone's phone unless you think that they're fucking somebody else. And then you can go through their phone. But if they're not fucking anybody else, you can't do – you're in trouble. And you need to never say that. Yeah. And you need to never go through it again, I guess. I don't really know the answer.
I know, it's a toughie.
It is a toughie because I wouldn't like anyone going through my shit, but also I'm not cheating on anybody. So
I know. It's tough.
It's tough. The problem is that the only time I've ever done it, I was right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Good stuff. I watched a Zoe Kravitz flick recently.
Oh, which one?
It's called Kimmy.
Oh, I haven't even seen that.
It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
I didn't really know what I was getting myself into other than the fact that Zoe Kravitz is so hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
That Hansel's so hot right now. An agoraphobic Seattle tech worker uncovers evidence of a crime. That was a short tag. So it's taking place like kind of mid to the end of the pandemic. And Zoe Kravitz plays a tech worker for a company that effectively makes a product that's like Siri or Alexa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between Siri and Alexa and this product is that every time that someone says like, hey, Kimmy, can you do something and it doesn't work, then they have a human go in, listen to what happened, what went wrong, and then kind of fix the code to explain what the right answer would be or the, you know, the right way to fix the issue. So she's listening to a bunch of these requests to Kimmy, which is like their Alexa, and then kind of like fixing the code. And then she comes across one that sounds like a rape and a murder.
Mm.
You know, it's all about her trying to get the information to the FBI and to, you know, the head of the company. And she's also agoraphobic, so she's scared to leave her house, which makes it very hard for her to like take this information somewhere. And I will say, runtime of hour 20, which I love in a movie. All right, let's get in, out, on with our lives.
Okay.
Compelling, kind of a story that we've heard before, but she's great in it. And I would say this, the end, like the last like 25, 30 minutes are fucking awesome.
Really?
So good. And actually, the cast is pretty amazing. Like Rita Wilson's in it. That's Tom Hanks' wife. And then Devin Rattray, who everyone knows him as Buzz in Home Alone, and he's back.
Oh.
Buzz is back, baby. Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. Anyways, Kimmy on HBO Max. Go check it out. Really
that
enjoyed
sounds
it.
Good.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah. No complaints on my end on that one.
We brought it up, I think, last week. Have you started the WeWork show, We Crashed, I think it's called?
No. Have you?
Oh, What are you doing? Yes, I've started it.
What is it called?
We Crashed. This one's on Apple Plus, I think. It's about WeWork. You know WeWork, right? Like nope. The like community work. You don't know what WeWork is?
I mean, it sounds like, you know, a hand.
You've never been to a WeWork? Do you live under a rock?
Okay, it sounds like some sort of gala to explain how to give hand jobs.
Okay, no. I cannot believe you don't know what WeWork is. WeWork was massive, like, I mean, maybe like 8 years ago or so, maybe a little longer. Basically, WeWork is like a community workplace. So it's like a building, you know, usually downtown where you can go and pay like a membership fee, basically, to have a desk in an office with a bunch of other people that work for themselves or work from home or work from a laptop, basically.
Okay.
And feel like you have some sort of community. Like that's kind of what it was. And back like 8 years ago when people were just kind of starting to work from home, and I feel like people were really starting their own businesses, and like a lot of people were self-employed and doing all that. Like it was so huge because people that didn't have an office had somewhere to go. And like we had a couple, I think we actually had an actual WeWork in Nashville and then this other place called Weld. I don't know if you've ever went to Weld when it was open here, but it was the same thing. And what was cool about it is like, if you're a photographer, for instance, and you know, pay this membership fee to go and have a desk at this place, then you could go and you could probably meet like people that do hair and makeup or videographers or whatever it is, and then end up working together, right? It was like a way to network and mm-hmm. like within your community for somebody that just works from home, which I think is a great concept, you know? So this show, We Crashed, is about, you'll have to look up his name. Can you look up the little thing, the synopsis?
Yeah.
The guy that started it, he's played by Jared Leto in this show, and his girlfriend, who he ends up marrying, Anne Hathaway, plays her. She's in real life, she's cousins with Gwyneth Paltrow. That's kind of like the spin they put on it in the very beginning. And it is so good. I mean, Anne Hathaway and Jared Leto are both phenomenal actors, right? So the acting is incredible. It's another one of those shows where someone is literally scamming people into giving them money to start a business, and it works. It's crazy. It's like another Ann Delvey or whatever, where this guy who is like, I mean, he has a great idea, right? But he is scamming people left and right to give him money to build this company. And he's a fucking genius at it. And it is mind-blowing.
The greed-filled rise and inevitable fall of WeWork, one of the world's most valuable startups, and the narcissists whose chaotic love made it all possible. We Crashed on Apple TV+. The tag is, a love story worth $47 billion.
Nice tag. So similar to this, the Anna Delvey thing, in the sense of like this guy, you know, he's from a different country, comes in, he's in New York, and he has this idea, and he has no money, right? And meets this girl, played by Anne Hathaway, who I'm not far enough in to know if her family really actually has money or not. It kind of seems like they end up really not having as much money as you think they have. But like they get married a couple episodes in, and her dad gives them $1 million to buy a house, right? And then Adam ends up talking her into putting $1 million into WeWork because he's struggling. Like it's fucking crazy. But he does that, and she really becomes such a massive part of I call it the scam, but the business of like building WeWork and all this stuff. But it's so crazy because it was such a great idea and it was so successful for a second. I mean, they had locations all over the place. I even remember years ago when I would go to New York for work, I would stay. They had a WeWork in the financial district, and they also had apartments in the building. It was called We Live. Like they even expanded it enough to have like apartments where you could rent, you know, per night, like a hotel, or you could rent per month, like, or you could sign a year lease. Like it was the coolest thing. And the apartments were like efficiency apartments. And then there was like a community kitchen and laundry room. Like, so the apartments were very small, and then you go down to this like community kitchen to cook and like meet people and hang out. So it was kind of the same concept as WeWork, but to live in. I mean, it really was successful for a minute, and then obviously it crashes, right? And goes under. So I'm excited to continue watching it. And there's also a documentary on Hulu about this as well. So it's funny how they're doing that. I think with the Dropout, also with the Elizabeth Holmes thing, it's like Hulu did the scripted series, and then there's also the documentary that's out at the same time. So I usually like to watch the scripted one first and then go watch the documentary. But it's just fascinating to me that like all these companies seem to have been built, right? Kind of like around the same time where everyone was just scamming people. It's nuts.
I know. I have a problem because I've been hearing some kind of weird shit about Jared Leto as of late. And
like what? I mean, he's a weirdo.
Well, like he's a cult apparently. I don't know. And then
I could see it.
And then, like, I guess he's, like, such a method that, like, he's kind of fucking crazy. Like, when he played the Joker, I guess he sent people, like, used condoms and, like, anal beads and a live pig or something. Like, weird stuff where you're like, what's happening here? He's, yeah, you Google Jared Leto right now. It's not a lot of great stuff happening.
Yikes. Well, I met him at a Grammy party years ago.
Uh-huh.
And there's a picture of me, him, and my mom and Miley that I'll have to dig up for this episode, maybe to put on Instagram. He told us we were all very beautiful. So he was nice to me.
Well, I mean, he probably wanted you guys to come to the cult.
Definitely my mom. He was definitely,
yeah, oh,
definitely
yeah.
I and Tizzle.
I mean, who can blame him, you know? So have you watched the whole thing?
No, I'm like 3 or 4 episodes
in. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. The episodes are long, I kind of like that.
Is it dingworthy?
I do believe it is.
Okay, thank you.
Really, really good.
Let's not forget the one shtick in the show.
The one shtick we have.
I watched this documentary about Schitt's Creek called Best Wishes, Warmest Regards, A Schitt's Creek Farewell. Not sure if you've seen that.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'm pretty sure I watched it on Netflix. And it's basically just a documentary about how Dan Levy made Schitt's Creek, how he got his dad on the show, how his dad was able to get Catherine O'Hara on the show, which was the thing that made that show, how it kind of like wasn't popular at all except in Canada, and they had this like grassroots meteoric rise. Is meteoric mean a crazy fast rise or like a mediocre one?
I have no clue.
I'll look that up.
Let's teach the YFT or something if they don't know either.
If you use meteoric when you are describing someone's career, you mean that they achieved success very quickly. So it's not mediocre. It's like a meteorite that goes really fast, I guess.
Ah, got it.
I don't know. I'm stupid. Anyway, so it talks about like the grassroots buildup of the show that turned into like this meteoric rise of fame and success and them winning like every fucking Emmy and SAG award and like everything under the sun, and then deciding to end the show kind of right at the year that everyone discovered it in America effectively. It's really wonderful. I've said this before, like I think that the shows that are great because the cast really does love each other. And I think that was true with like Seinfeld and Friends and Modern Family and probably Big Bang Theory. Like those people all like really seem to actually enjoy each other's company. And I think that's a big part of when you're trying to create a really good show. Obviously, this show was so great because they were an actual family. You know, it was it was Eugene Levy and then his son, Dan Levy, and then his daughter, Sarah Levy. And then obviously, Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy have been working since they were in their 20s when they were doing like the Canada's version of Saturday Night Live. And they, of course, did all those Christopher Guest movies together, which are phenomenal. It like really pulls the heartstrings in a wonderful way because it talks about the importance that that show had for the LGBTQ plus community. Because the wonderful thing about Schitt's Creek is that it takes place in a town. There's never any judgment within like this little town of like David Rose being queer or even Stevie being bi. It's just not addressed. Mm-hmm. And then like the really beautiful like love story between David Rose and Patrick and that scene where he like plays the song for him. So they kind of talk about how they shifted the kind of normal TV narrative of dealing with homosexuality in like a completely different way. And then it goes into all the people that the show helped. Like there's this Facebook group for moms who have LGBTQ kids, and they write all these letters about how the show completely changed their lives and helped their kids and helped them and all this stuff. And you start to see like the how important that show was and how kind of sad it is that it's ending because of like the amazing work it was doing for a very marginalized community. Anyways, I cried like 6 times watching it. Mm-hmm. Everyone should go watch it. Warm wishes, best regards, A Schitt's Creek Farewell.
Cute.
Very good.
I would like to just very, very quickly just touch on a little Grey's Anatomy right quick.
Okay, let's get into it.
I would just like to say that the last time I spoke about Grey's, my final words were, I need more Nick Marsh. I need more Dr. Marsh because he's everything. And Grey's Anatomy gave it to me, baby. Like ever since then, Dr. Marsh has been a much bigger part of these episodes. I'm getting a lot of Dr. Gray, Dr. Marsh. And honestly, after last week's episode, dare I say, there might be potential that Meredith is going to move to Minneapolis and have a life with Dr. Marsh. And I really, like, I need that. If it's a spinoff, if it's Gray's, if it's whatever it is, I need it. And I need it in my life. And I need more of it. Please. Thank you.
All right.
He's so hot. He's so hot.
All right.
Also, I would like a real life Dr. Marsh. So if you're out there, holla.
Holla.
Slide into the DMs. Something.
You know, I was thinking about the other day. Like, I don't know if you watch a lot of porn.
I do not. Enlighten me.
A kind of a big thing these days is the step sibling porn, hooking up with your stepsister or hooking up with your stepmom.
And you're watching this porn?
No,
or?
I'm just telling you, like, it's like the most like searched and watched new like storyline in the porn world. And it's just fucking weird to me because that's something that I can relate to because I didn't come from a broken home, you know, like I never had a stepmom or step or a stepsister or something like that. So that was never a fantasy for me. And the truth of the matter is divorce rate is up. And this is what's wrong with the country right here. This is a microcosm of what's happening with countries that people aren't staying together. And all of a sudden everyone's fantasizing about fucking their stepsister. And it's fucking weird. Am I the first person to say this?
You're the first person I've heard ever talk about it, to tell you the truth.
Like, this is what's wrong with the country. All right? Stay together, guys. You know, I'll go and look at porn or whatever, and I'm like, man, a lot of people are really into thinking about slamming their stepmom. Like, that's weird, bro. I like the classics, you know? Cable guy shows up, doesn't fix the cable, fixes something else. Rad dad.
Thank you for letting us know what you're into.
Yeah, you know, I like the classic. I like good storyline, too. Mm. I want to be invested in the characters.
Sure. Poor Sarah. That's all I have to say.
Anyway.
When does she come home? Can she hurry?
Not soon enough. When your girl's away for a couple months, you know, what am I going to do?
Yeah. So stepsister porn it is for you, I guess.
No. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's too good.
I've got a book. I got a couple books, actually.
Oh, I haven't read a book in a long time. I need to get on that.
I think you might like this one. I touched on it maybe a couple episodes ago. It's from the same author that wrote The Guest List, which I liked that book a lot, and I talked about it on this show. This one's called The Paris Apartment. Here's the tag. The Paris Apartment, a novel by Lucy Foley. Jess needs a fresh start. She's broke and alone, and she just left her job under less than ideal circumstances. Her half-brother, Ben, didn't sound thrilled when she asked if she could crash with him for a bit, but he didn't say no, and surely everything will look better from Paris. Only when she shows up to find a very nice apartment. Could Ben have really afforded this? Unfortunately, he's not there. Ben's gone missing. The socialite, the nice guy, the alcoholic, the girl on the verge, the concierge. Everyone's a neighbor, everyone's a suspect, and everyone knows something they're not telling. The Paris Apartment. Good whodunit. Think you'd love it. I talked about it, you know, a couple episodes ago. It's interesting because every chapter kind of like is narrated by a different person in the apartment. And
like
their take on it. Good twist at the end. It's got all the things you need. It's not going to be a contemporary classic, if you will, but I think you'd like it.
Okay.
However, I have been reading what I consider to be, I think, a contemporary classic in a new book called A Gentleman in Moscow. Have you heard of that?
No.
From the number one New York Times bestselling author of The Lincoln Highway and Rules of Civility. A beautifully transporting novel about a man who's ordered to spend the rest of his life inside a luxury hotel. It takes place in 1922, and the protagonist is a count, Count Alexander Rostov, who is deemed an unrepentant aristocrat by the Bolshevik tribunal, and he's sentenced to house arrest in this grand hotel. He is such a funny, compelling character. He's so witty. He's very, very smart. He's a rich guy, but he's a poet and an author and an aristocrat, but he's stuck in this hotel. It's got shades of a confederacy of dunces, where it's kind of like so weird and wonky and funny and crazy, with also combining like shades of the Royal Tenenbaums, even though that was never a novel. But if you could kind of mend those two together, I think you'd find A Gentleman in Moscow. And it is, so far, I'm only maybe like a quarter of the way through. It's a thick book. It is so funny and so good if you're looking for a modern day classic.
Love it.
So there you go. A Gentleman in Moscow. Check it out. So, I feel weird about asking this question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but like, your parents are in the news right now.
Yeah, they are.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for either one of them, so I don't want to really get into it, but what I will say, I mean, I think first of all, I should say like, thank you to everyone that's reached out. I've had a lot of friends reach out. I've had a lot of, Instagram DMs, a lot from YFTers actually. Just saying that they're like thinking of my family, and I just want to say I really appreciate that support. And I know that we have a lot of fans that are fans of the entire family, and that means a lot to us. So I think for me, like, I'll just say I love both my parents very much. Our family is so close, and we all really do just support each other and love each other a lot. And this doesn't change anything. I think, you know, I'm an adult now, right? I'm 35 years old. My parents are going to make their own choices. They're going to do what they're going to do. And that doesn't affect what our family is to me. Like, I still love them both so much, and we're still going to be a family at the end of the day. And I support whatever is going to make them the happiest. So, yeah. That's all I'll say about that.
Man, both of them being available on the market is scary.
You know? Going after Tizzle?
I mean, listen, if Sarah never comes back from Berlin,
oh gosh. To stay on the family trajectory here.
Yeah.
Young Nikki has a new song out that I'd love to play.
Oh yeah.
It's been a minute that Young Nikki's put out some new music, and she's been playing stuff for me. I've been hearing it for a minute, so I'm happy that it's finally out. But her new single is called I Burned LA Down. She actually filmed a really sick music video for it that's out there as well, if you want to go check that out.
I like that.
Sad, sad, no-y always.
Yeah, but it's got the Americana driving beat vibe to it.
Yeah.
So It's like a Lumineer song or a Mumford & Sons song.
Yep. I remember one of the first times Noah went and played, like, you know, a quote-unquote show. It wasn't really a show. We went down to some, like, open mic thing in Studio City. Mm-hmm. And I think it was called Crave Cafe or something.
Okay.
And she sang a Vance Joy cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that, you know, like, those are a lot of her, like, OG influences. Yeah. So it's nice to hear that come through in her new stuff.
I like that. She's sad bastard to the core, and that is what I am into.
Wells's favorite.
I am. Yeah, you gotta let her know that I do dig her music a lot.
I'll tell her.
Speaking of sad bastard, Sarah sent me this, but I've seen this guy before. He goes as, his tagline is he's the Jewish Ed Sheeran, which is just so great. His name is Noah Kahan.
Oh yeah, I know him.
You do?
Yeah.
So this song isn't out yet, but it's so good. And Sarah sent me this, and I was like, man, the lyrics on this are just bonkers good. So this is just him on TikTok. This is a song called Growing Sideways, and I'm just going to play the whole thing because it's on TikTok, and I don't think we can get in trouble for that. But anyways, Noah Kahan is just so good.
So I took my medication and I poured my trauma out on some sad-eyed middle-aged man's overpriced new leather couch. And we argued about Jesus, finally found some middle ground. I said I'm cured. I divvied up my anger into 30 separate parts. Keep the bad shit in my liver and the rest around my heart. I'm still angry at my parents for what their parents did to them, but it's a start.
good line.
But I ignore things and I move sideways until I forget what I felt in the first place. At the end of the day, I know there are worse ways to stay alive. Everyone's growing and everyone's healthy. I'm terrified that I might never have met me. Oh, if my engine works perfect on empty, I guess I'll drive.
Guy can write some lyrics right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is that it?
I think so.
Is that it for the 200th episode of YFT?
200.
Man.
That's it until tomorrow night.
Yeah. Don't forget tomorrow night on YouTube, we're going to be doing a live with everyone. Hopefully there's going to be some sort of like interactive function.
Yeah. We don't really know how anything works, but we're going to show up and make the most of it.
Yeah. If I can inject audio into this thing, then maybe it'll be a cool thing to ask everyone what their favorite thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can play those on the live, and that'll be a way to make it interactive.
That would be cool. Do we tell them to like DM audio, DM us now so that you have those to play?
Yeah. Go to, hopefully this will work, but yeah, go to our Instagram page, the YFT Instagram page, and then DM us and use voice notes. Do not write out something because that's so dumb. We want to hear your voice. Do voice notes, and it might even be a thing where you can do video. If you can do video, and I might be able to throw that into the live. That might be too hard. Whatever. Do video or
that
audio.
That sounds hard.
I know it does.
Audio would be easy.
Yeah. Well, I think we did it.
Yeah.
I mean, what a run. 200.
This song is insane.
We should be proud of ourselves, you know?
Me too. I love YFT.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, maybe for episode 400, we need to go houseboating with all the YFTers, you know?
That sounds fun, yeah.
Yeah, go to Party Cove.
You get a houseboat, and you get a houseboat. Yeah, you get a houseboat, and you get a houseboat.
We can't go to Lake Mead, though. I don't think there's enough water in there anymore. So, Shasta? We going to Shasta?
Sure.
Sounds good to me. All right, Randi. Miss ya. Love ya.
Miss ya. Love y'all. See you tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Over on YouTube. Check out all the information out over at YFT on Instagram. See you guys.
Bye.
All summer long. Side to side, there's five houseboat front porches, astroturf lawn chairs, and tiki torches. Regular Joes rocking the boat that's us. The Redneck Yacht Club.
I'm a good singer.
Redneck Yacht Club. Bermuda flip-flops and a tank top tan.
Oh, yeah. Take me to the bridge.
10 a.m. That's Bob. He's our president. We're checking out the girls on the upper deck, rubbing in the 15 SPF. It's hot. Everybody's jumping in. Later on when the sun goes down, we'll pull out the jar and that old guitar and pass it around. Fast trackers, bayliners, and a party bar strung together like a
mountain trailer park. All summer long. Oh, man. Man, I hope that's the one we get sued for. Fucking Redneck Yacht Club.
We might.
We might. If that's the way this whole thing ends. Down. That's where this whole thing ends. I'm fine with it. All right.
God, I'm not.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.